This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for June 13th, episode 1450, brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, horse world.
Monday, Monday, can't trust that day.
I didn't know.
Well, it was your fault, so.
Behind our masks, we're perfectly ordinary people.
And now, our perfectly unordinary host, Jamie Jennings.
Really? Just remember, my friend, that payback can happen.
And Glenn the Geek.
I'd have to get new tights.
I got to lose that trailer. I keep forgetting about that.
You need new tights.
I got to lose that one. Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us on this Monday morning. I got to tell you, you know, we're going to get to our normal show here shortly, but I just have to say that what a weekend here in Florida. First with that girl from The Voice who was gunned
Christina
down.
Christina Grimmie.
Murdered. Just because the guy had it out for her, I guess. And then what happened with the nightclub thing over the weekend in Orlando. I'm going to Orlando Thursday for 4 days for the American Horse Publications Conference, and it just brings it home that it's coming to home. I mean, what's been happening overseas is here now. So our best to the families down there. Neil, our editor, a little personal story here. Neil, our editor, who edits most of our shows now, works for Wild Style Media, and a good friend of mine used to work for the police department for 8 years as their crime scene videographer. He used to go in and do the video at crime scenes. And it was because of situations like this that he quit. He just couldn't handle it anymore. So, you know, I was chatting
there's
with him.
There's never been a situation like this.
Well, you know, just the murders and everything. He just couldn't handle it. He
said, I can't imagine.
He said a lot of his friends were there this weekend, you know, from the police department and everything. And
this will change your life being one of those people that works this scene. But I mean, my gosh, what an absolutely horrific tragedy. And I almost can't say anything else about it because I get so angry and upset and sad about it. But just know that, I mean, for what it's worth, we are thinking about all of you. And oh my gosh, I'm just brokenhearted over the whole thing.
Well, again, you know, like we say so many times in this show over the last 6 years, our thoughts and prayers are with everybody involved with the situation.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, we have a show to do, and you know, we're here to bring a little light to what could be an otherwise gloomy Monday out there. So we're going to do our best to do that. And Jennifer's going to tell us how we're going to do that today on the show.
Here we go. Here we go.
Here we go. Here goes nothing, folks. Coming up on today's Omega Alpha Monday.
That might actually
edition.
Be what happens. Nothing. Just saying.
Nothing. Following a requisite celebration for the new Horse Radio Network website, thank you very much, Glenn, we're going to be joined by listener Linda, and she's going to share her weekend horse show adventures. And then next up, singer-songwriter Katie Drake is going to stop by for a get-to-know-you visit. And in the late charge down the stretch, Jenny Autry from Eventing Nation is going to bring us the latest from the Rio Olympics rundown. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Daily Winnie time. Well, my Daily Winnie goes out to the much-deserving wife, Jennifer, who had to, for the last 4 days, put up with me as I was trying to learn a new theme and rebuild our website completely, which was a lot of 20-hour days over the last 3 or 4 days. But I did get it back up today, Jamie, or last night about midnight. I got it back up. It was down for the whole time. I got a lot of work to do yet, but the shell and the pieces are there, and I think it looks pretty good.
Well, I'm on it right now, Glenn, and I'm on horseradionetwork.com, And I'm looking, there's the logo and there's the how to listen, and that's great. And then there's all the shows. And then like below it is a click link for two different shows, the dressage show and the stable scoop show. And I'm calling BS because where the hell is my show? Why isn't my show up there?
What are you talking about?
I'm logged on Horse Radio Network.
Are you talking about the big pictures?
There's just a big picture of the dressage show.
That's a scroll bar. If you keep scrolling, you'll see.
I've scrolled all the way to the bottom. Oh, an interior scroll bar. Wait, nope. That's not. I'm not on the front page, and I'm irritated about it.
You're on the wrong page. You need to go to horseradionetwork.com.
I don't want to. I want to be on the front page.
You are on the front page. Right there. Horses in the morning.
That's not me. It needs to be me.
I got needy hosts. They're so needy. Actually, for the first time, when you go to the homepage now and you click on, first of all, we made the shows much easier to find. When you click on Horses in the Morning, now if you click on Horses in the Morning from the homepage there, you're going to see we have a landing page for each show now, and you're going to see on our episodes, our little pictures as hosts are on the right there. It was never there before.
Oh, I'm just going to make the point that I wasn't on the front page, but good job. It's fine.
Well, you'll be on the front page of Horses in the Mornings Rebuild. I promise to put you on the front page of that one.
I love it. No, this is wonderful. You did a great job. You know what's funny is that I have these barrel racing girlfriends, and they were... We were swimming, our kids are the same age and they live in the neighborhood, and they were asking me about my job, and they're like, what do you do? You know, exactly. And I'm like, I do a podcast as on a radio show about horses. And they were like, oh, well, we listen to a different one. And I was like, well, what do you listen to? They were like, we listen to something totally different. It's a rodeo marketing show.
I was like, oh, really?
That's my network. And they were like, what? That's your company? So I was pretty excited. Yep. They listened to the rodeo marketing.
I'm excited that they listened to the rodeo marketing show.
Yeah, I guess it. Barrel racers do. She was like really familiar with it. I was like, oh yeah, that's mine. It's on my network. So just click over there on the horsey that looks like a sunshine.
Well, I'm just impressed they figured out how to listen. You know, when we had the auditor, I got to thank them. I know this is a long Daily Winnie, but real quick, I got to thank the auditors because we had them go out to barns, their barns, and ask everybody they knew if they listen to podcasts, not just ours, but any podcast, and if they don't, why. And the number one reason, almost unanimously, was they didn't know how. So that's why you'll see on the Horse Radio Network homepage there, I put at the very top how to listen and all the different ways you can do it. If you click into those, it gives step-by-step instructions of exactly how to do it. I think that's still the biggest obstacle we have to overcome is for people, they think it's too complicated. They think it's really hard when in fact,
it's an app.
Download an app and hit play. You know, that's how hard it is. So I'm hoping that by putting that at the very top, like I did, that helps the new people coming to the website. Let's face it, the only people coming to our website are new people. The people that know how to listen are doing that on their phones and iTunes or our player or our app or whatever. They're not coming to our website. So
you did great. You did a great job. Jennifer, you know what? I'm going to give you the good job because you dealt with this jerk face all weekend while he was working on this.
I was
probably
grumpy.
Angry.
I got grumpy
frustrated.
A couple times. Yeah, I got
very grumpy. Yeah, he did very
grumpy.
You know,
we never, ever have disagreements. I mean, ever. And we did have a little bit of one, and I may have been a little tired. And the dog, this is the first time this has ever happened. Glory actually went between us. Went and stood between us, and Jennifer said, look, you're upsetting the dog. But she came
Who
between
did she
us.
Choose? Did she try to guard Jennifer, or guard
yes,
you?
She chose me. I was right.
Of course you were
like,
right.
Dad,
and then
Dad
we ended
right.
up laughing, and that was the end of that. But so.
You know what? It's like, you, Lucas, you're just tired, and you're probably hungry. So
right.
you need to calm down.
That's right.
Jennifer
That's
talks to you like a 3-year-old.
Time out.
Yeah.
Take a time out.
I will put you in your room right now.
So thank you, Jennifer, for being patient. It's at least about 60% done now. There's a ton more to do, but it's back up and functioning.
Good job.
All right.
My Daily
Winnie. Oh, yeah, that's right. You haven't done yours yet.
You took forever. Well, right now, boarding on an airplane is 100-something people that are heading to a beautiful island in the Caribbean.
Really?
And they don't realize that the guy flying the plane is his first time.
Is he actually behind the stick?
Today is the first morning ever my husband is an official airline pilot. So congratulations,
and he's
honey.
Like at the wheel, turning the dials and knobs.
Yeah, sorry. He's the right seat. He calls it. So he's the co-pilot.
Yeah, but he's only ever been in the jump seat watching, right? He hasn't. This is it.
Correct. This is
he's
it.
He's a virgin.
This is his first time. And where is he going? Cabo.
They have an airport.
This is not really. Yeah, so he's hopping on a plane and
to Saint, you know, Luce, they, you, Saint Lucius,
Cabo San Lucas,
Saint Lucas. Okay.
Yeah, so there's a large number of people that are getting on a plane. Granted, he has a lot of flight experience, but like you know, they just don't ever get. You know, when somebody's retiring from the airlines, the pilot's last flight, they're like, "Ladies and gentlemen, in the cockpit is Captain so and so, and he'll be retiring today, so you're flying his last flight." And everybody claps. You know, they never get on and go, "Ladies and gentlemen, Chad Jennings, welcoming him in his first flight ever as a pilot." They don't tell you that.
Do you think that if he gets bored halfway there, because this is going to be boring compared to flying an F-16, do you think if he gets bored halfway there, he's going to turn into like 10G rolls and, you know, he'll...
I don't think, from what I understand, he's going to be bored for a second. There is so much to do. I think he'll eventually calm down a little bit, but there's a lot he has to remember and he has to put that big brain to work. So,
it's kind of funny when you think about after 20 some years, he that flying an F-16 became old hat. Didn't have to think about, you know, you had to think, but didn't have to think about it like he is now.
That's no, it's so funny. An F-16 is so part of him at this point. I mean, he has over 3,000 hours in an F-16. So, it's just a part of him.
Is this cockpit so bigger?
The cockpit in an F-16 is one tiny little person.
Yeah, we sat in it, and it was pretty tight. At least he can stretch his legs a little now.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, I can't wait to get up and go to the bathroom.
I couldn't do that before.
No. Oh, so.
Well, good for him. Yay.
I'm so proud. This
does
is
he
like
have
I
a layover
him.
There? If he does, you're going to be pissed.
I know. Actually, I think he actually gets in the plane and heads to Detroit.
Oh, there you go. He'll have a layover in Detroit. You watch.
He does. I think he has a layover tonight in Detroit.
He goes to St. Lucas and gets a layover in Detroit.
Yeah, exactly. So he flies to Cabo and then he flies, I think, to Salt Lake City and then he flies to Detroit. And then he I wouldn't tell him this, but that's my worst day ever. You got to sit in an airplane all day. Every day, that sucks. I wouldn't want to do it. I'm glad there are people that do want to do it. I'm sure his view is a lot better than the, you know, person that I'm stuck behind that reclines their seat into my lap. So it's probably a little more comfortable up there. But oh my gosh, that just sounds terrible, doesn't it? Would you want to do that all day?
Well, congratulations, Chad. Yeah. Good for him.
I'm so proud of him. He's worked so hard for this his whole entire life. And this has been his life plan and it's coming true. And I'm really proud of him. I'm so proud of him. I keep sending him text messages. Oh my God, you're an airline pilot. It's crazy. So anyway, congratulations.
Were you in his life plan, by the way?
Yes. I don't think he knew it was me.
Somebody.
He knew there was somebody that was going to throw him.
He didn't know it was
going to
be a needy horse chick.
There's got to be some broodmare out there that'll give me a baby.
He didn't know what he was getting. If only he had known, he would have run.
I know.
Well, no. You know, there were tons of stories over the weekend, and obviously most of them bad about here out of Florida. And I think that's why this next story just went insane.
I am so surprised right now that you haven't played the Belmont yet, by the way.
Oh, well, the Belmont was not a story compared to the rancher who lassoed the guy at the Walmart.
That's true.
Think about which story was most popular over the weekend. It was the rancher that lassoed the guy at the Walmart was more popular than the Belmont.
Listen here, people. We're going to play the Belmont in just a minute. But Robert Borba is being called a hero after chasing down an alleged bicycle thief with his horse Long John and lassoing him in a parking lot. Why was this guy riding a horse in a Walmart parking lot?
Well, he was loading his truck and trailer. He had gone to the Walmart to get some supplies, and he was loading apparently dog food in a camping tent into his truck when he heard a woman screaming, and this guy was trying to steal her bike, or was stealing her bike. Now, this is the part that amazes me in this story, that and Jennifer's trying to get to him. Actually, the auditors are helping stalk him and get him on the show. This is what it says. The 20-year-old said he quickly got his horse out of the trailer. Long John's the horse's name, by the way. He grabbed a rope, rode over to the man who was reportedly struggling with the bike gears and attempting to flee on foot. By the way, if you're stealing a bike, know how to ride the damn thing. And then he lassoed the man around the legs, and when he dropped, he dragged him to the other end of the parking lot. It's like, I wish there was a video of this whole thing.
No, wait, here's what's actually going to happen is Robert Borba is going to be sued because yes. The guy got road rash while right. He was being drug along the Walmart parking lot. And then Walmart's going to sue him, too, because Walmart's like, you can't take matters in your own hands. That's exactly what's
going to
happen.
By the way, other thing that struck me about this story, what English rider, name one English rider that could get their horse out of the trailer, get the lasso, get on the horse, and go lasso the guy in anything less than a half an hour, because you'd have to stop and brush the horse, you'd have to make sure he looks good.
But here's the thing. You're exactly right. But also...
I have to paint his hooves.
You have to paint his hooves yeah. first.
Does anybody have a hoof pick? I need a hoof pick. Mane comb? I got to brush his forelock.
Only a Western rancher dude could do that quickly.
But only a Western rancher would have a horse tacked up and ready in
the
trailer.
I don't even know. Was he tacked? I didn't see. What, in the pictures, was he tacked up? Or was he bareback?
The picture that I see right now is him sitting on the horse with tack. Just in a halter, though.
Really good shot with the lasso, man. It's like a really good shot.
That guy's going to win his weekend roping.
All right, let's go to our first. We'll get to the Belmont, that race that happened over the weekend.
It was so exciting. Sorry.
We'll get to that in a minute, but we have one of our listeners joining us, don't we?
Good morning, Linda. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys? Good morning.
And great to have you on. Linda Getting is a listener of ours, and I guess Glenn's like, she did something horsey over the weekend. You should talk to her about it. And so that's all the information that he's given me in preparation.
I was a little busy, people.
So thanks. But I just figured that I would talk to you about it. First of all, how are you, my dear? How is life?
Well, life is tired. I just pretty much just woke up. So I'm sitting here with my coffee.
Oh. So you didn't,
otherwise.
Welcome to Jamie's world.
Yeah, right? Me too, girl.
Yeah,
cheers.
I know. I was thinking about you. But I don't know how you wake up and start chatting immediately. I kind of need another hour.
Orange juice and then coffee. That's the problem. That's the ticket.
I just did that very thing. Yeah.
Sugar, caffeine, in that order.
Sugar and caffeine, blood sugar. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, tell us what did you do over? So like we're Monday morning, you and I are hanging out at the water cooler at work, and I'm like, hey, Linda, what'd you do over the weekend? And your answer is,
I did the Extreme Horseman's Challenge this weekend.
What? What's the Extreme Horseman's Challenge?
it's kind of an obstacle, timed obstacle challenge. And they have, you know, different categories. So they're what I call the Galloping Cowboys category. And then sort of the more slowpoke category like me. I've done it a few times before. This is probably my fifth or sixth time in the past few years. And what I can say about this weekend is that I didn't finish dead last. I finished second to last.
Good girl. Good girl, you finished. You did not
it
win.
It was a learning.
That makes you the perfect Horse Radio Network listener. right there.
No, because she did not win the DFL award.
Oh,
the DFL
right.
award.
I know. I was trying to remember the name for that. That's. I bet I could have managed it pretty easily though.
Yes.
If I just would have
freaking left.
You didn't try hard enough, obviously, Linda. You didn't try hard enough.
Shoot for the stars. Yeah,
so,
I
just wanted to hear. Tell me about your horse, and then tell me about how it went.
Well, my horse is a 20-year-old gelding quarter horse.
Spring chicken.
He's a great trail horse, and I do a lot of trail riding on him. So it's really the perfect kind of experience for us to do something like this. He's not very fast, though. I really can't get a gallop on him, but that's okay. And I always tell myself that, you know, I do a thing like this just for the experience of it. And I realized this weekend that I have a lot of respect for people who do competitions, because you get out there to a thing like this and you're just surrounded by psychotic horses before you even go.
I wouldn't know anything about that.
The problem is Jamie was always the one with the psychotic horse.
No.
You need to apologize for all the psychotic horses, Jamie. I want a sincere apology.
There's a reason they call me that girl, Glenn. I came by it honestly, okay? Moving on, Linda.
Well,
so you're trying to get warmed up, and there's people, crazy horses running sideways. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, and I got my horse off the trailer and got him tacked up, and he was very calm. He's been there before, and he kind of knew the deal. And as soon as I got out to the warm-up area, he just turned into, you know, a tense ball of muscle, and I hate that feeling. And he wasn't breathing, and there are horses spinning all around us. And anyway, I was just anxious about getting going. And the very first obstacle was a noodle curtain that you had to. It was probably 25 yards from the start gate, and there, I watched so many people fail to get through that thing, even though it's just noodles. And at least Trigger went through that. And
Trigger.
His name's Trigger. And then I realized after I was done that I had forgotten an entire obstacle.
Oh,
just,
no.
Like it had slipped my mind. And I realized that walking the course on foot matters when they, you know, do the course walk the night before. And I just chose to ride in the truck because I've done it before, and I know what the course is and everything, and I just figured I'd, you know, ride along and look. And I was checking out my map and everything, but because I wasn't on foot, I didn't tell my brain, you know, when I finish this obstacle, I need to look right and find that mark and go to it. So I just missed it. And,
oh, gosh, I would never do something like that.
Does that happen to other people?
Let me tell you what happened. And Jennifer's going to kill me. But you know what? She was already mad at me over the weekend. So what the heck? First event I ever see her go to, she's out on cross country. And about halfway through the cross country course, she disappears. I can see where everybody, I didn't know a damn thing about eventing. And I was watching where everybody else went, and I could see that this wasn't like the others. And all of a sudden, she disappears. She had gone completely off course to the point where she wasn't even on the same farm. She was on the neighboring farm. And then apparently figured out she was lost and came back. But that was my first experience watching. Sorry, Jennifer. It was a good story for the radio. It's for the show, Jennifer, for the show.
It happens.
See,
girl.
It doesn't just happen to you.
Linda, let me tell you something that makes me feel better about my life. Have you heard of a guy named Buck Davidson?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, yeah. So Buck Davidson, and I believe it was Petite Flower, his Olympic select mount, they last year or 2 years ago got on a plane and flew to France to compete at the 4-star Po. Okay.
Right.
Buck Davidson and Petite Flower take off on course after flying across the world to go to a horse show. And I believe it was fence 9. He just cantered right by and did not do it. totally forgot a jump, and he's Buck Davidson, and if it can happen to him, it can happen to you.
So, I mean, I don't want to be that girl.
You got Amen. It officially.
well, wait, because it turns out that I forgot more than I realized. Oh, no. I need that song twice because I forgot.
I can
too.
Do that. This is for you. I don't want to be that girl.
Well, Buck Davidson only forgot once, so sorry.
Yeah,
at least you finished.
Well, I realized in the middle of the course that I forgot one, and I had just finished an obstacle, and the judge was standing there, and I said, I see the last one. I'm going to go back and do it. And he goes, no, it's too late. You already missed it. Like, just disdainful.
You jerk. Get off my course.
Oh, I know. At that point, I didn't even realize that I had missed another one entirely. So anyway, there's that learning experience. And it turned out in my group of friends, I was with three friends. The inventor is the one who, you know, she always does the best. She's so experienced with all of this type of, this way of thinking, I think is, you know, you have, there's kind of a mindset that you have to get into. So,
well, that and the warm up, I guarantee you, Linda, the warm up that you experienced was nowhere near as crazy as they have warm up at an event. So she was probably, this is like peanuts to her, a warm up.
Oh, it is. She said that. Didn't even care about the time. Of course, she won it. She won out of the four of us. And anyway,
hey Linda,
but it was funny.
Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, I was just going to say the thing that really rattled a lot of horses. The obstacle that rattled a lot of horses was we had to pick up a basket, like an Easter basket type thing, on one barrel, and then we probably went a couple hundred yards with it and set it down on another barrel, and. A lot of the horses just did not like the idea of a basket being attached to their rider now. Like, there's something new up there. I can't take it.
That's a little stuff. That. You know what's funny? It's the little stuff, isn't it? Well, Linda, before we have to go here, I just have to ask you two important questions. One is, did you wear your Horse Radio Network saddle pad?
I did indeed, but it was raining and
you got
no
it
one
wet.
Really
all right.
Spectate it.
The next question is, was there a camel there? Didn't you say something about a camel?
Yeah. So it's a series of these once a month for 6 months during the warm weather. And I expect to see the camel later in the summer because
does
the challenges
camel
get
compete?
Harder. No, he just stands in a pen, and you're scored according to how close to the pen you can ride.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, Linda, if people are interested in this sport, is there a website for it? Because I think Thor would be really good at this stuff.
I don't know a general kind of industry site, but this particular challenge is called Pegasus Extreme Horseman Challenge. So
Extreme Horseman Challenge.
It's just trail obstacles. If people wanted to Google it for their area, it's called Trail
Very
Obstacle
cool.
Challenges.
Very cool. Linda,
yeah,
thank you for coming on.
Fun.
Yeah, thanks for coming on and talking to us about it and being honest and not saying, oh, well, I mean, I was like, you know.
That was great.
I won the thing. I won. It was amazing. That's not fun.
All right. Thanks, Linda. And enjoy
thanks,
that saddle
Linda.
Pad.
You're welcome. Have a good day. All right. Thanks for the pad. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Linda helped us out at when we were at Road to the Horse all weekend. She spent it with Mary and I helping us out, and she was so invaluable, her and her friend, that I sent her a saddle pad just because I was so glad she was there to help. Hey, Omega Alpha has helped you and your horses get through many a rough patch.
Yes, it certainly has. And now for sure, I love them because I am heading out of town this weekend. I am taking two Mustangs up to the forest, Coconino National Forest. And I'm actually part of a group where we're doing a fundraiser for the Coconino Horse Trials. And I'm teaching a clinic. There's a bunch of instructors that have volunteered their time. And I volunteer my time to go up there and take a bunch of students and strangers out on the cross country course and do a little 2-day clinic up there.
Oh, really?
And
oh, cool.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
Are you going to ride Thor?
I'm going to take both.
Both.
I'm just going to see what happens. And there's a competition about 2 weeks out from it. And I'm going to decide what levels I ride these horses at, depending on how they do in high school. See if Thor can go novice, or do I need to go beginner novice? And can Zeus go not beginner novice, or do I need to go pre-comp and just jump the tiny stuff? But anyway, of course, you know, when you are heading out of town and you're going to be gone for a couple of days, it doesn't matter if it's a Mustang or a Thoroughbred. You need to protect them when you're on the road. And how I'm going to protect them, of course, is GastroFX. That is such a great way to buffer the horse's stomach. You give it about, I believe, an hour before you get on, and it just helps. Like, I'll give it before I get on the trailer to like kind of help them with the stress of traveling. And then when you ride, and it just kind of cuts down the acid buildup and, you know, kind of prevents ulcers. It's great. And it has healing properties as well. So if there's anything going on, then it'll help out with that as well. So anyway, I don't go anywhere without Biotic 8. And I'll tell you what else I don't go anywhere without is Equine Chill, the Omega Alpha Chill, because I think Thor is going to be just perfect because he goes places he doesn't care. Zeus, on the other hand, my little redhead, is a little bit more of...
Was he been away yet, or is this his first big trip away?
He went to one little, remember we did the little Crossrails jumper show?
Right. Yes, yes, yes.
And he got out of the trailer.
Did you pay for those jumps yet, by the way?
No, that's Thor. That's Thor. They have a bill for Thor. But no, Zeus actually jumps them. He jumps them really high. That's kind of the other problem. So anyway, but I will have Equine Chill on hand, or Chill Ultra. They come in those little paste tubes, and it's really, really convenient to take in your tack box and just, oh boy, you're going to need this. Here you go, bud. Have some. And it just helps them out. So anyway, OmegaAlphaEquine.com. Don't leave home without it.
And a lot of people started getting their freebies. Remember, Dr. Chang was on a couple of weeks ago.
Herbacote. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited for mine because I signed up too.
People were posting pictures. We'll see if you got it. They only gave it to the first 50. And I think everybody that we know signed up. So that they got full-size bottles. This was not a sample thing. They got a whole bottle.
When I sent my message in, I said, hey, you know, obviously give it to the listeners ahead of time. But if there is any extra, I would love to try it. And she wrote back. She's like, well, we got well over 50 almost immediately. But she said, I'm going to see how generous Jeff is feeling, and hopefully we can cover everybody. But I don't know. It was apparently a lot immediately, like well over 50 by the time our show was over.
Well, good for you guys getting your free stuff.
Yeah. That's great.
All right. Thank you. Omega Alpha Equine Duck. They'll never do that again. Omega Alpha Equine Duck.
hope you guys.
We taught them a lesson. Yeah. Well, we have, I had many listeners, and I apologize because you know how Facebook is when people send you something and say you should check this out, and then you can never find it again because I didn't save the post. And then you go back and try and look through Facebook for a post that was 4 days. Forget it. So one of the things Facebook's not good at is searching for stuff like that. But maybe somebody better at it than me. But I apologize to the listeners who did send me this. And it was because of you that I got a hold of Katie Drake. Katie is a singer-songwriter. And you know how we're always looking for new musicians on the show who have some horse experience and hang around a farm. And they said, you got to get Katie on the show. She has this terrific new song. It's about her dad, and it's about the farm. And I listened to it and absolutely fell in love with this song. And I want to play it for you, and then we're going to get Katie on the line. And we're going to talk a little music. We're going to switch gears here on this Monday morning. After the tragic events of the weekend, we thought it would be a relief to just talk about some beautiful music on a Monday morning. So Katie will be here in just a second, but first her song about her dad and the farm called Generation to Generation.
Office is the world outside. His tractor that he rides. When I was young, he showed me how to drive a truck and milk a cow. He also showed me how to live with grace and integrity.
Katie Drake, that's absolutely beautiful and means so much to all of the listeners we have out here, many of them growing up on farms and ranches across this country.
Well, thank you.
That's a terrific song. I just loved it. Now, that's the song that everybody sent to me and said, you got to get her on the air. So here you are. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, you bet.
Well, now, this is obviously, you grew up on the ranch?
Yeah, my dad has been a farmer my whole life. We live on a farm in Northern California with my dad's whole immediate family, actually. There's four homes on our farm. It's called the Book Family Farm. So,
how does that go, by the way, living with the whole family right there on the farm?
You know, a lot of people have that question. I really feel privileged to have gotten to grow up around all my aunts and uncles and cousins. For a good period of time, my dad and my uncle did a pumpkin patch together. So they were in a family business, and it went just as well as it could have. It was a really unique and wonderful opportunity and a great way to be raised.
You know, I know so many farmers. I grew actually, before I was in the radio thing, I did financial planning, and it was all with farmers. So I got to see the generation to generation, which is why this song, I think, meant so much to me. For 15 years, I got to see what happened, you know, from generation to generation and the rough life it was. Now, is it cattle farm? What kind of farm? What kind of ranch?
Actually, when we originally moved to the property, my dad and uncle mainly were pumpkin farmers. It was a once a year type of thing. We did some summer vegetables.
Well, you know and what? Then, they do not eat recently, and poop. There's a good thing about pumpkins. so they
but
did.
But we also raised.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, on the farm. So with the pumpkin patch, my uncle had about 12 draft horses. We had grew up having Belgians, so they did wagon rides, and they did some Christmas caroling. So we always had livestock, but then, and one or two cows maybe just for family milk. But then about 8 years ago, my mom and dad started a small, raw milk dairy, little cow share. So we have, that's what my dad's doing now. And my husband raises grass fed beef. So they learned that our property really wasn't designed so well for crops and was better for grass. So we call ourselves grass farmers now. So we have, we still have a bunch of horses, and we have, the dairy cows, a couple of those, and then about 30 head of cattle. So it's not a huge property, about 250 acres, but the four families still live there. Most of my cousins have all grown and moved away, but my parents have graciously, for the last 4 years, allowed my husband and I to move back home with them, because it was my dream always to be able to raise our kids on the farm. We moved away for about 7 years and then have just recently been able to realize that dream and come back and live on the farm. And my husband is a horse trainer and works from the farm raising his cows and stuff. So it's been really awesome.
Now, wasn't he with Pirelli for a while?
Uh-huh. Yep. We worked for Pirelli for about 7 years. And that's really where my husband, when I met him, he didn't do horses. I didn't even know he liked horses. And then within a couple of years of being married, he really... My sister is a Pirelli instructor, and at the time she was just a high school student who was helping people with their horses, and he saw her do that, and we visited the Pirelli ranch in Colorado one summer, and he looked at me and he just said, if I could do anything, my dream would be to come and work here. And it blew my mind. I didn't even know that that was something he was interested in doing. And then a year later, that's where we ended up. And 7 years after that, through his jobs working all the way at the bottom as a post hole digger, he worked all the way up and was managing the ranch and had become an instructor and really realized his love for working with cows. Actually, he always knew he loved horses, but he kind of realized that dream and was able to, when we moved away, come home and be able to start doing stuff with cattle and horses now, in California.
What do you have horse-wise? You still have draft horses on the farm, or...
We do. My cousin is one of the only of our family that moved back to the farm, too. She trains driving horses, yeah. So she still has about a dozen Belgians, and then she takes in draft horses for training and stuff. So on the farm, at any given time, there's, 15 to 20 head of horses, mostly Belgians. My husband, all of his clients, range in, mostly quarter horses and other type of riding horses, but Natty deals with primarily all the draft horses. So there's lots of horses on the farm still.
I love draft horses. That's listeners all know that draft horses are some of my favorites. And you got a dozen Belgians hanging around. First of all, they eat a lot, and they poop
a
lot.
They do, yeah.
That's the other thing. But they're so much fun. The draft horses are so cool. Now, you got into music when?
I have sung all my whole life. My family always used to get on about, I would do the dishes with my headphones on, and I love singing harmony. So I'd be singing harmony, which is, if you know about music, like if that's all you're hearing, it's a really awful thing to listen to because it's not the melody.
That's right.
I would belt it out in the kitchen or anywhere else in the house, everywhere we'd go. I'd have my little headphones on. I sang in church growing up. That was primarily my main outlet for singing and performing, but songwriting didn't really occur to me. I really hated poetry in English in high school, and growing up I didn't think I was very good at it and didn't ever really understand it, and I thought to write music you had to have a broken heart or write from a really dark place, and I didn't really have any of that going on in my life. So
you're no Taylor Swift then, yeah, huh?
You need to break up with your husband
not.
And get back
just,
together or something.
This is my song This is my song called Happily Married, everybody. Please enjoy it.
I guess.
This is my song called My Life is Awesome.
Yeah, so it wasn't until I got engaged and was getting ready for my wedding, and I knew that I wanted to, I'd always dreamed of being able to sing something at my wedding. And I had recently attended my cousin's wedding, and she had written this song as a teenager for her future husband. And I am super competitive in nature. And I saw her do that. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to write a song, darn it. I can do this. And so, unbeknownst to my husband or my fiance at the time, he had no idea I was doing this, but I wrote a song and knew that there was no way I could actually perform it live because I get too emotional. I didn't want to put that pressure on myself. So I had a friend help me and I recorded it, and I was able to play it for our first dance as a total surprise to him. It was my most favorite moment in our wedding, which was unfortunate because it was after the wedding and most of the reception. I just couldn't wait for that moment. So the rest of it's a complete blur. I can't remember any part of my wedding except for that. But it was the most special moment. We caught it on video, and it was neat because within the first couple of, seconds of the song, he realized we weren't dancing to Garth Brooks, the song he thought we were going to be dancing to. And
you didn't sound anything like Garth.
It quickly dawned on him that I was the one singing, and the dawning of that, he just broke down and bawled into my shoulder for the remainder of our first dance. And on the video, you see him just like kind of burying his face in my shoulder, and then we're, slowly dancing in this little circle. And I turn around and my face is just beaming. It has this huge smile on my face because that was exactly the reaction I was hoping for.
He was crying his eyeballs out and you were like giggling.
Yeah, it was hilarious. Yeah. So that kickstarted my songwriting
Which
career.
Song was
I
that?
Would say I,
Which song was
it's
it,
It's called Bless This Man.
Well, let's hear just a little bit of it.
This is how it always starts. This man, he's the one you're preparing for me to cherish me all my life.
Oh my God, you could so do a first dance to this.
Your voice is so beautiful.
Help him to be strong.
Oh my God, I can see why he broke down in tears.
Oh, that is, I'm about to cry. I just heard a second of it.
Well, you know,
very special.
Well, yeah, and obviously he got somebody that's very special too. Tell me, we're going to play a song here to take you out, and it's a song that called "Ready for the Ride." Tell us about that one.
Well, I co-wrote this one with a man named Chris Caswell, and I was working for Pirelli at the time. And he actually had the idea for the song. He was just driving down the road and had the idea of Ready for the Ride. But then as we kind of hashed it out, really thinking about, as it related to both humans and then and horses, we just thought it was a perfect song to provide Pirelli for their tour stops. And that's just really where this inspiration came. We got the inspiration and the idea for the music behind it as a sort of like you're galloping around and
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Katie, and thank you to our
you're
listeners
welcome.
Who
Thanks
I don't
for
remember.
Having me.
I don't remember who the listeners were, and I really feel bad about that. But thank you for letting me know about Katie. We're going to add her songs to our playlist here on Horses in the Morning. You can find all of her songs. Just go to katiedrakesongs.com or on iTunes. Just search for Katie K-A-T-I-E, Drake, D-R-A-K-E. Just search for Katie Drake on iTunes, and you can get them there as well. All right, we hope you'll come back again sometime.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'd love to.
All right, thanks, Katie. So we're going to take her out with Ready for the Ride, and we're going to be back to get a Rio preview in just a minute from Jenny Autry from Eventing Nation.
Love is always a gamble. Love comes with no guarantee. Once your heart has made your mind up, hope is all you see. I'm not one to hold back. I'm not one to shy away. I'm the type who will blindly follow all love has to say.
And that was Katie Drake. You can find her, all of her music, as we said, at katiedrakesongs.com.
Sorry, my microphone was off. I was just saying, I was like talking away. I love her. I'm so excited we're going to add her to our playlist. She's got a great voice. What great songs, too.
And I like the fact that she writes them. They're all hers, you know. So there's about 20 songs there we'll be able to add her to. And obviously, she knows a little bit about radio. I got goosebumps when I heard Generation to Generation because, you know, because what I did before really hit home with me, that song. So, and I'm sure a lot of the people, you know, listening to this show grew up on ranches and farms and they lived that, you know, with their parents. So very cool.
Awesome. Oh, you're
that race
let me,
thing.
Let me finish my work here. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you today by our friends Omega Alpha Equine, OmegaAlphaEquine.com. And yes, there was a small race over the weekend. It's called the Belmont Stakes and it was a huge race and it was awesome and it was so exciting and Glenn didn't watch it. So
I was busy building the website. I watched it. It was sort of three horses won.
It was great. So let's
actually two horses might have won. Here, let's play.
They're all in line. We are ready for the start. They're off in the Belmont Stakes. And Destin had a very good beginning, but there goes Gettysburg as expected. Sent to the lead by Paco Lopez, and Destin is close as to stablemate Stradivari. And then to the outside, there goes right to the outside of them, Seeking the Soul, who's three deep into that turn. Cherry Wine sits back and runs in fifth. Exaggerator's not far behind. He's three wide into the turn as Governor Malibu saves all the ground. Then Brody's Cause, Seeking the Soul, three lengths more. And then comes Forever Doro, racing on the outside of Creator, who's been guided to the rail. Lonnie is second last. Trojan Nation trails. And the first quarter was solid enough. It was 24 seconds flat.
Poor Lonnie.
So it is Gettysburg the leader on this expansive first turn at Belmont Park. Gettysburg in front by a length and a half. Destin tracks in second position. Seeking the Soul follows in third. Stradivari's in between horses. Exaggerator's moving up on the outside and is strongly held by Kent DeSormo, four deep up the backstretch. Then Governor Malibu followed by Cherry Wine. Brody's Cause is right behind his stablemate, and he's six lengths off the lead up the backstretch. Lonnie has gone by a few horses now, and Lonnie is moving up on the outside. Then Creator, Sudden Breaking News, and Forever Doro. The half was in 48 and 2, three quarters up in 1 minute 13 and 1/5 seconds, and Trojan Nation is well behind the field. So Gettysburg leads the charge up the backstretch in front by a length. It is Destin who continues to pursue in second. Stradivari is right there, and so is Exaggerator. The Preakness winner is fourth and right to the outside of a ground-saving Governor Malibu, who is sent along by Joel Rosario down on the inside. Gettysburg has been there all the way so far. Destin continues to pursue him. Stradivari is close. Exaggerator is two lengths off the lead, four wide on the turn. Then Governor Malibu, Creator, Lonnie still with five lengths to make up. And then it's Cherry Wine. Sudden Breaking News goes wide and Forever Doro. It is still Gettysburg who will turn into the stretch with Destin right on his outside. And they're into the stretch. And Destin has taken the lead in the Belmont Stakes. Stradivari is there. Governor Malibu couldn't get through on the inside. He is in traffic. Exaggerator. Here comes Lonnie on the far outside, and Creator is coming too. It is Destin in front. Creator, Lonnie on the outside. Destin and Creator. These two come down to the line together. Too close to goal. It was Creator and Destin right on the wire. And Iran Ortiz raised his whip in victory, but it is very close in the Belmont Stakes.
Oh my God, it was so close. Do you know that is the third time in the history of the Belmont? Only the third time in the history of that race that it's been by a nose.
And it was, so, I saw the picture. God, it was a hairs of a nose. I mean, it was close.
Yeah, it was like a whisper of a nose. And so it ended up going to Creator, and Destin came in second, and Lonnie, man.
Poor Lonnie came in third.
Dude, if that horse just figured out how to focus, then he would be amazing. I wonder if they should put blinkers on, bigger blinkers. I don't know. If I was training him,
a
we'd
little
work
chill,
on
maybe? I don't know.
Give him a little Omega Alpha Equine chill, set him up. You know, I would send him to Monty Roberts and be like, get this horse to relax. Like, you know, it just, he really could be something special.
He was dead last at the beginning of the race.
Totally at the end.
He was way back.
He just works so much harder than he has to. like, just focus. Anyway, so what creator Dustin Lonnie and Gettysburg was a pay, like what they're saying is that Gettysburg, you know, by the same farm as creator, was supposed to go in there and be a pace horse and to wear out the front so creator could come up and win. And that's exactly what happened. It worked out exactly the way that Steve Asmussen wanted. So congratulations. But my gosh, it just, first of all, goes to show you how absolutely ridiculous and amazing secretary it was, because he just kept going faster than everybody else and faster and faster and faster and faster. He's getting it like a tremendous machine. I mean, my God, he's secretary. It was amazing. But that being said, it's just nothing compared to last year. It's just such, I love the Belmont. I do. I think it's a true test. It's a really amazing race, and it just separates the men from the boys, and the horses that finish that are the tough ones, and those are the ones that they should breed. It's just awesome. And my gosh, it just was nothing compared to last year. The hype and excitement and everything with American Pharoah vying for the Triple Crown, it felt different than any other time I've waited for a Triple Crown. It just was like I knew it was going to happen and we were going to see history. And this year was just, way to go, creator.
Yeah, good job. Yay. Next. Have you ever seen a race end with three grays, one, two, and three?
No, because I would have been way out of the money on those, because I never bet the gray.
Well, and that was the thing that struck me. I was like, three grays? I don't think I've ever seen that before. I'd like to know how many races have been won by three grays over the history of racing. Not a lot, I bet.
That's a baseball statistic right there. That's like how they get. Okay, one time back in 1847.
I'm surprised that Larry Comas didn't have that right on hand.
I know, right?
He's usually got that stuff. Well, congratulations to creator. And now we look forward to next year. We look forward to the
Breeders' Cup.
Breeders' Cup and when? October, I think. And yes. Where are they this year, British Cup?
I knew you were going to ask me that.
Well, look that up. I'll introduce our next guest.
Okay.
Jenny Autry is joining us. Of course, she's the big boss, the head guru, the chief over at Eventing Nation. And she's joining us today.
Santa Anita.
Okay, good. And she's joining us today to take a look at the Rio Olympics coming up and the eventing side for the United States. Hey, Jenny.
Hello, how are you?
Did I get your title right? Goddess? Should I have added goddess?
That's good. That's okay. Appropriate. We'll go with that.
Yeah. All right, good.
Hi, Jenny.
Hello, how are you?
Man, you sound great today, by the way.
Thank you.
You're so clear. Well, yeah, Jenny, boy, this is an exciting time for you guys over at Eventing Nation.
Yeah, the team will be named 1 week from today. So we are in the final countdown and everyone is so excited.
And who is it going to be for the eventing team for the United States?
Well, I feel pretty confident in my four picks. I think that we're going to see Philip Dutton and Fernhill Cubillon. They were fifth at Rolex and very consistent in all three phases. This horse is also the best show jumper in Philip's barn right now. And remember, there are two show jumping rounds at the Olympics to determine the team and individual medals. So those show jumping rounds are really important. So I think we're going to see them sending the really good show jumpers as a result. So I think Philip and Fernhill Cubillon definitely check that box. Then I think we're going to see Boyd Martin and Blackfoot Mystery. And this is a off-track thoroughbred that was six in Rolex. It's also been really consistent this season. You guys remember that they won the Wellington Eventing Showcase earlier in the year. And then they also had a big win in an advanced division at the Fork in April. And the show jumping has been a little bit of a struggle for this horse, but Boyd's really worked hard on it with Richard Picken. And we really saw that and the fruits of their labor at Rolex when he only had one rail down on what was a really tough show jumping day, as you guys remember. Then I think the third slot's going to go to Lauren Kiefer and Veronica, another very consistent pair all season, most notably finishing second at Rolex to win the USCF National Four-Star Championship for the second time in the last three years.
Let me interrupt your predictions and say, wow, you're really going out on a limb. This is crazy. You're paying so far. These are like the three. I mean, these are no brainers. You're absolutely right. There's so many people that I would love to see there, but I think you're absolutely right. These are just three.
I think it's pretty clear. Yeah. Like Lauren and Veronica, I mean, 2 times in the last 3 years, they've won the national championship at Rolex.
No, they need to. I mean, that's the biggest no-brainer team of all, because Lauren and Veronica are just such a great pair. I could argue with different horses, because, you know, Phillip's got so many horses and mm-hmm. Boyd's got so many. But yeah, I can't argue with Lauren and Veronica. That's your best pick yet.
Yeah. And, you know, Lauren was named to her first U.S. team last year for the Pan American Games and helped the team to a gold medal there. So she has that team experience. She's never been to an Olympics, but I think she's more than ready to represent the U.S. on that stage. And, you know, Veronica is about as reliable as they come.
Yeah.
And then fourth and final slot, Clark Montgomery and Lock and Glenn.
Oh, really?
So these two have had a bit of a different road to Rio this year, because Clark decided not to compete in a CCI this season based on the horse's performance last year. They had a top finish in the 4-star at Lumulin and then won Blenheim in the fall and finished the year as one of the most successful combinations in the world. And so this spring, you know, based on that really good season that they had last year, they only did CIC events this spring, and they competed this past weekend at Bramham, where they were second with the fastest cross-country round of the day, which was very impressive. I think the horse looks in really good form, and honestly, this combination is our best shot at an individual medal. When you look at their scores on paper, they average in the 30s in dressage. They can hit the low 30s even. The horse has proven that he can go fast and clear on cross country, and they also average clear show jumping rounds. So when we're talking about who could challenge somebody like Michael Young for a medal, you have to look to these two, not to mention that Clark and Lock and Glenn could play a really big role in helping the U.S. team to win a medal, which it's now been quite a long time since that's happened. So
you know, I think we should just go. We need to just go for a team medal this year and just scratch the individual. Like, come on, we're not going to get Michael. So just let him have it. It's his.
Hey, everybody has a bad day. Everybody has a bad day occasionally.
Except for Michael.
Yeah. Except for Michael Young. Yeah.
Except for him. Hey, no, that's
so
awesome.
It's interesting because Clark is somebody I forget about because he's stationed over in England, so we don't see him all the time at the events here. But I forget he's even an American sometimes. And Jess Montgomery used to host the eventing show with Samantha.
Yes.
His wife. So, but I forget about him all the time. So.
Well, and you do fly under the radar more when you're not, you know, here in the U.S. and we're not seeing you every weekend. But at the same time, Clark has been competing in Europe against the best for the last 3 years. So that helps you raise your game immeasurably. And, you know, we've had other riders like Lauren Kiefer went to base herself in England last fall to get that same level of exposure. And it really is so valuable for a rider to do that. So Clark has made that commitment to live there with Jess and their little daughter, Vivian. And I think it's really paid off for them. And I really am hoping that we see them have the chance to represent their country at the Olympics.
Now,
so go ahead, Glenn. Sorry.
I was just going to talk a little bit about the Olympics here. I saw last week that the police raided the offices of the company that was building the Olympics, a lot of the Olympic stadiums and stuff. Because of fraud and extortion and all kinds of stuff. So what are you hearing about the venue itself?
Well, right. So Deodoro is the area in Rio where equestrian is going to be held along with some of the other sports. And the word on the street is that there's been some money being funneled aside from
Really?
That company that was responsible for the venue. And so it was actually raided last week. The equestrian venue was raided. So maybe we can get that all out of the way before the actual
before you show up.
Yeah. I'm like, that'd be great if, like, during dressage, there's a raid on the venue, you know. what does a judge even do in that situation? I don't know. But
I don't know. Paramilitary just, I don't know. 10.
Yeah, exactly. So I honestly have no idea what to expect. It's a very strange feeling because you're just kind of going into it blind. From a coverage standpoint, I am just, you know, hoping for the best. And all of us journalists and photographers are kind of one big family. So we're all going to have each other's backs. And I'm sure that they will have safety, you know, dialed in as best as they possibly can. And we'll all be smart about it.
Now,
but it's going to be an adventure,
sure. You're at the age, and I'm not giving this away, but you're at the age where they warned females that maybe this is not a good trip. It, obviously, it was something you thought about.
It is. Yeah, I'm turning 30 this year, so big 3-0. And, you know, my husband and I did talk about it. But at the same time, when I started working for Eventing Nation, my sole goal was to go to the Olympics to cover it. As a journalist, it's a huge honor and something that I've been working toward for my entire career. So just like the, you know, the riders have been working to this one moment in their lives, I feel the same for myself. I've been working toward this goal. So it was something that my husband and I decided together that I would do. And I'm excited. I'm honored that I was able to get accredited to go. It's a quite an intense process just to get credentials. So I'm ready and I'm excited to provide the best possible coverage that I can for our readers who I hope will be following along at eventingnation.com.
I got to
absolutely. I just real quick, I wanted to get back to the picture real quick, Glenn.
Yep.
Because by the way, 30 ain't that bad. When you're staring down 40, you can start to worry. Okay. But I wanted to ask too, we never talked about any of the also kind of also rans with your picks. There are a couple other riders that are up there. Maybe you're not picking them, but they're kind of right up there. And tell us a little bit about some of those.
So what's going to happen is they'll name up to 12 names total. So the four on the team, and then you also have up to 8 reserve combinations. So there's one traveling reserve who actually gets to go to Rio. And I think that Maya Black and Doesn't Play Fair have a really good chance at taking that. They were third at Rolex, have also had a really good consistent season. And this horse is another one that can really hit some low numbers. And be able to put in a really good score for the team. I also think we can look to Lynn Szymanski and Donner and Sinead Halpin and Manoir de Carnavie. I think that those two we could definitely see on the reserve list. They both represented the U.S. at the 2014 World Equestrian Games and are super experienced combinations. And I think Buck Davidson's, I think we're going to see him on the reserve list. I'm thinking Petite Flower. She's an extremely good show jumper and, also good on the flat. She's had a good season as well. Copper Beach is another horse that we might see named for him. And then it kind of comes down to a toss-up for some of these final slots. I think that all of the team horses that actually get named to the team probably have a direct reserve horse named for them. So like Philip, Boyd, and Lauren will all probably have a reserve named on there. And then that brings you down to riders like Will Faudry. I think he has a good shot with Celeste. Allie Knowles and Sound Prospect, I would love to see them have a spot on the reserve list. They really deserve it after a super consistent season and an impressive performance at Rolex. And I think Julie Richards and Sandhills Berlaire have a shot too. They were on our U.S. Olympic team that won a bronze medal in Athens. And so she's a super experienced rider. And that horse is also a 4-star winner at Adelaide several years ago. And I think Kurt Martin and Alexi are another one who are kind of gunning for that final slot. Also had a really consistent season and a good performance at Rolex. So it's going to be really, I'm really excited to see that reserve list because that shows you kind of what the selectors are valuing as far as the types of performances that we've seen this year. And I really think that isn't as clear as the actual team picture. So we will know a week from today.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and throw this out there that you did not select show favorite and friend of the show, Alisa Wallace. And we're going to have to let you go.
She's definitely gunning for a reserve slot too. Again, like that final slot is down there. And there's a bunch of people who it could be. It comes down a lot to the vettings too. Those are on Saturday and Sunday.
This weekend. Yeah.
We don't know the results of that. You know, that's all private between the owners and the riders and the team. So all of this is subject to that. You know, unfortunately, you do have horses that can have lameness crop up, and that does affect the outcome. So it could all have a shakeup after the vettings too.
I think that's what happened to Manoir de Carnville last selection time. Was they just kind of found some stuff that they were.
Yeah, there was he had it was a hay allergy and a little bit of bleeding as a result of that, which was a big bummer for them. And I was happy that they were able to get to go to the World Equestrian Games in 2014 after that. And I think that, again, they've come out and looked really strong this season. So I think they are another one that has a really good shot.
Well, Jenny, we have a ton of listeners in Canada, so let's and we have a very good friend of the show, been coming on with us since the Horse Radio Network started 9 years ago, and that's Jessica Phoenix. Tell us a little bit about the Canadian team.
So they had their final selection trial just this past weekend at Bromont, and that was one that they, you know, were wanting all the Canadians to go to so that the selectors could make their final picks. And I think Jessie's definitely going to be on there.
Yay.
And she has, yeah, she has...
with one of her 30 horses?
I was going to say, I think she has four qualified, which is really impressive. I think it's probably going to be Pavarotti or Bentley's Best. Of course, Pavarotti is her longtime partner.
Yeah.
Across and has won so many medals for Canada. So I think there's a good chance we see him. Bentley's Best is a little bit more green and newer to the level, but he had a really impressive showing at Jersey Fresh in his first CCI three star last month. So could see him too. I'm thinking it's probably going to be Pavarotti. And another pick who I would love to see is Colleen Loach with Corey Blue Dargouge. They were second this past weekend at Bromont. Another horse has just been looking really consistent all season. Colleen was on the team for Pan American Games last year, so she already has team experience, and she was on this horse. So I think it would be really cool to see them go. Another big favorite is Celino Hamlin with Foxwood High. They didn't have quite the dressage test that they were hoping for this past weekend, which is a bummer, but at the same time, I'm hoping that the selectors can look past that to some of their other performances from, you know, this spring and even to last fall when they have lowered their scores really drastically. So they can hit low numbers and put in a good performance for the team. And I think that then it comes to the fourth slot, which is a little bit of a toss up. And it could kind of be a surprise pick. So we'll see. I think those three though are pretty strong. I think Waylon Roberts has a good shot, and he also has team experience. He was ninth this past weekend in the CCI three star with Kellison Cognac. So yeah, it's that oh final slot is kind of like a toss up. Rachel McDonald Rhythm
God.
Had a good performance. So it's, yeah, we'll see.
Good God, Rain Man. Anything else you need to tell us? You're ridiculous. Talk about being in the right job. Holy cow.
It's been so much fun for me to be able to follow along with the horses and riders, and you know you see them set this goal for themselves, and you watch them have the ups and downs. The sport is incredibly tough, and so it's rewarding for me to be able to see them all so close to accomplishing this goal. And I know there are a lot of nervous people this week, but you know, whether they make the team or not, I hope they can all be proud of their performances this season.
Well,
and I'll be cheering them on all the way to Rio.
I got to tell you, Jenny, we're so proud of you and what Eventing Nation has accomplished. I was there when Eventing Nation was born with John in a room talking about it. So, you know, to see you guys come up to the point now where you can get credentials for an Olympics, which we could barely get credentials to go to Rolex the first year that Horse Radio Network and Eventing Nation started. They argued with us. So we've come a long way over those years, both Horse Radio Network and Eventing and Horse Nation, and you guys deserve it, and you've done a terrific job of creating a space that is so human, and you know, and it really does humanize the sport, and I think that's what I like about Eventing Nation so much, is it has personality. It's not just news, it goes beyond that, and I think that's why it's so popular.
Well, thank you, Glenn, and you know, we try not to take ourselves too seriously, but at the same time, we take a lot of pride in our work and, you know, try our very best to have integrity and accuracy in our reporting and have a lot of fun along the way. Like you said, it started as a blog in John's mom's basement. That's where he started it. And now we have 1.2 million readers. So I don't know how that happened, but it happened.
The best things happen in mom's basement. I'm telling you what.
There you go. There's a little magic
there. A lot of babies came out of mom's basement, too.
Not really. A lot of computer programs came out of mom's basement.
Oh, that's true.
No babies.
That's funny. Well, congratulations, Jenny, on your success over there at Eventing Nation. And we're looking forward. Maybe we'll get you on live from Rio. We're in the same time zone, sort of, right?
It's only an hour off, so it's not bad. But yeah, I would love to if we can figure that out technologically. I'm just hoping I have internet when I get there.
Well, and now
setting the bar low.
That reminds me, we have not talked about the Olympics much, so we're starting to gear up for that now. The TV coverage, is it going to be good again this year? NBC promising to cover everything like they did in the past on the line.
Yeah, you'll be able to watch everything online. So through the live streaming, and then for anyone who might be working during the day and not able to watch, we'll be live tweeting on Eventing Nation. We'll also have live updates running on Eventing Nation that you can keep following along with. So however you follow along, be sure to come to Eventing Nation and see all of the photos and videos and interviews and reports. And we will be working pretty much nonstop through the event to bring our readers the best coverage we possibly can.
Yay. Good for you. Is Leslie going along or?
Unfortunately, we only were able to get one of us approved for credentials. It's so hard to get it. But we hope maybe next time we can get two. We got our foot in the door with one. So
well, that's okay. She gets to do all the other cool trips.
Well, we sent her to the test events and she doesn't get to go to the actual Olympics.
Oh, that's right.
She went to the test event last year.
She had some wild stories to tell about that too.
Yeah.
Wherever Leslie goes, there's wild stories. I see a trend there, actually.
Trouble seems to follow her.
And that's why Jenny is the one with the press credential for the Olympics.
I didn't say that.
We love you, Leslie.
And
you know what? Leslie's never going to come on our show again. She's too busy with that brand new pony, all gushy gooey.
I know. Yeah. She went to see Pearl Jam over the weekend too. So she's having way more fun than all of us. Yeah.
Oh, she didn't tell me she couldn't come on today because she's hungover. She never mentioned that.
Oh, she went to Bonnaroo and had a fantastic time. Oh, yeah.
So she didn't just see Pearl Jam. She was pretty drunk for about 3 days straight at Bonnaroo.
That is high probability that happened.
Yeah, I thought so.
She's having way more fun than the rest of us this weekend.
All right, we'll get you back on before you head out. But thanks much for giving us this report, eventingnation.com. If you want to keep up on everything eventing leading up to the Olympics. Thanks so much, Jenny.
Thank you.
All right, take care.
Oh my gosh. I love Leslie Wiley, but I'm sorry. At what point do you get too old to go to Bonnaroo?
Apparently Leslie not Wiley. Whatever 30 some she is.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, not old enough. Like you didn't age yourself out style wise. You just age yourself out. Like I can't drink for 3 days. I'm sorry. It's just, I need to go to bed. I want to go home.
Well, that was fun. She is so good at those reports, too. She's good at writing and she's good at talking.
Seriously, she's Rain Man.
I know.
Oh, that horse, that Canadian rider that we've never heard of finished ninth at some horse trial we don't know about. And she's like, knows everything. She's crazy. That's awesome.
Well, a lot of fun, and we're really glad to have the relationship we do with Eventing Nation. I really was there at the beginning. I remember in a room, we had a conference at the Kentucky Horse Park, and John, who started Eventing Nation, was there, John Thayer, and we sat down and talked, and he said, here, I have this little blog I started, and I mean, it was very rudimentary, and it was just a couple of entries at that point, and it was kind of boring, and we talked that whole weekend about how to make it a little more fun. And he ran with that, and look what it is now. So congratulations to all of them. And now he got, and the other thing, like me, is he hired good people. That's the other thing.
Oh, well.
I'm just saying that because you're still pissed your face wasn't on the homepage of the website.
So. You know me. That's all what I'm all about. Actually, just a little behind the scenes is when Glenn and when I was in real radio, you fight over airtime. On this show, Glenn and I are like, I'll tell you, I'm like, that's too much of me right now. You take over. I don't want to hear myself anymore. I'm tired of talking. You do that one. And he'll be like, no, you do it. I'm like, no, you. So
we're the exact opposite of regular radio. I'm glad to hear that, actually. Yeah.
Absolutely. But I was just joking about my face being on the homepage. Nobody needs to see that.
And I need a new picture from you, by the way. And you need to read your bio because Ken just wrote me a note and said, I think her bio's a little outdated, so you'll need to go to the Horses in the Morning page on the new website and read your bio. You might want to update that. it was written 5 or 6 years ago. So
I think he was saying something about I just got married.
Yes, I did take that part out. I did remove that part, and that you were
I'm an old married lady
kind
now.
Kind of like Chad was. You were hoping Chad was going to be a good horse husband. I mean, this was really written 6 years ago. So yeah, all of the hosts need to get on and update their bios. So they're a little old. And you were a reigning champion of something at the time, and Jennifer said, "I don't think she's reigning champion anymore." It was, I forget what it was, but you were reigning champion of something. I took that part out too.
I was the Area 10 novice champion.
That's what it was in Atlanta, right? It was in Georgia.
No, here in Arizona.
Oh, in Arizona.
I showed up and won. This is what Chad laughs about. Like, when I first competed my warm blood demure forever, and he never could stay sound to go training. So we just did novice and had fun, you know? And, he was so amazing at dressage, and then he was okay at jumping, but we get clean, go clean and everything. And so when I got Jet, the next horse that I got, to compete, I remember about 3 or 4 competitions in, Chad was like, I thought you won all of these. He's like, what? I thought you won these things. Like, what happened? I'm like, yeah, that was nice. I'm glad you thought you married somebody who won everything.
You didn't
you won
know.
All of these.
You mean you hid the fact that you were deep down a loser when you.
Yeah. I did. Bless his heart. Yeah, no, it does say that my new husband. Oh, you put my baby Luke in there. Okay, you updated it. We're good.
I did put baby Luke in. I figured I got to add baby Luke in there somewhere because he's part of the show. So, speaking of which, he's been pretty quiet today. What happened?
Abby spent the night. So he's been hanging out with Abby.
Oh, okay. Good. You have a babysitter. That's what it was.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so this week's going to be a little different for the rest of the week. Tomorrow we have, what do we have tomorrow? Oh, Endurance Day tomorrow. So Karen Chatton will be here. We'll be talking a lot about endurance. And all I got was a note for her yesterday saying, I've got stories for you. And her stories are almost as good as yours, Jamie, because she rides a lot. So she'll be here tomorrow. Jamie will be back on Wednesday. Then we have the NATRC on Thursday, trail riding episode. And then Friday, we're off. I'm heading to I'm doing a talk on podcasting at the AHP, which is the American Horse Publications Conference. And I've never been to one of these. And it's the first time I've ever been asked to speak at one. And I never went to one because I never considered, that's kind of like all the important journalists from the horse world come together and have a conference. And I never really considered us journalists, but I guess now I'm actually allowed in. I don't know why, because I still don't think we're journalists. But
congratulations.
Yeah,
you've
made
it.
I'll represent, okay? I'll go represent. Podcasting has made it. And I want to give a shout out to Dave Jackson. Dave is considered he's kind of like the godfather of podcasting. He does a show called The School of Podcasting. It's
the George Morris of podcasting.
Yes, he's the George Morris of podcasting. That's a good way to put it, actually. He's been doing this show for 10 years. He's been around. He's considered kind of the expert at podcasting. I did one of his shows last year, and it's still the most downloaded episode he had last year. He still talks about it. And I just wanted to give him a thank you for all the help and everything he's been along the way and for being such a supporter. And the thing I wanted to mention, Jamie, is he is not a horse guy. He hates horses. He thinks they're dangerous and weird. But he listens now every Friday to Horses in the Morning. He likes the show, and he loves Really Bad Ads. So we now have kind of the godfather of podcasting listens to our show live every Friday because he loves Really Bad Ads. So,
well, at least he's not listening now.
He mentioned it on his show this week. He mentioned, everybody, you got to go listen to Horses in the Morning on Fridays. I don't care if you like horses or not. Really Bad Ads is hilarious. So we got his endorsement.
That's so cool. That's so cool.
So that's fun.
Well, you'll be there, and I'm going to be taking Mustangs and children to cross-country schooling. So we're going to head up to Flagstaff. You know why? I'm actually taking Duke, too, because do you know what the predicted forecast is for this weekend in Phoenix, Arizona?
150.
You are very close.
No,
you are
really?
Scary close. The forecast on Saturday here in Phoenix, Arizona is 120. I've lived here 6 years, 7 years, eight years. I've never seen it 120. It's gotten that high, but that's
How
never
do
been
you
like
ride
the forecast.
It's cooler up where you're going, right?
Yes. But we're at a little we're higher. It's Flagstaff is higher than Denver. So there's a 40 degree
difference.
So it'll
be 95 or 100?
Yes, yeah. It's actually supposed to be like 95 degrees up there, and it's usually 70. So it's a crazy heat wave out here, but I gotta take Duke North. Bless his heart, he can't do 120.
We went.
God, nobody can.
We went through Coconino Forest. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
When we were there visiting you last year, what a beautiful place. I can see why you like going up there. It's beautiful.
I love it. And their cross country course is awesome. So if you guys are interested,
cool up there.
CoconinoHorseTrials.com if you want to see pictures. And I think me and Jed are on there on that website too. Because all good home pages have photos of me.
You know what I'm going to do when I redesign horses in the morning? All that's going to be on the homepage is one big ass picture of Jamie. That's the only thing that's going to be on the homepage. All right, everybody.
Don't
we'll see you.
Nobody needs to see that because you guys know.
I want to know if you have any problems on the website. There's still a lot to do over there, but the structure's there. I want to know what you think of it. Go check it out. HorseRadioNetwork.com. It's the main website. We'll be working on all the show websites over the summer. But check it out on your phone. It's now mobile friendly, which they never were before. So Google should be happy and not delist us. But I, if you do have any issues, just drop me an email, glenn@horseradionetwork.com, and we'll try and get them fixed. All right. Thanks, Jamie.
Awesome. See you guys. Have a great day. Spay, neuter, geld. Stay cool, Phoenix.
120. You could just go outside and fry eggs on the sidewalk.
It's awful. We were not designed to live in Phoenix, Arizona. One 120.